church. Amen. All right. All right. Praise God. Are you ready for the word today?
Amen.
I am so excited about this word today. And there's a couple of reasons why I am. Now, as you know, we are a faith church. That means we believe that the Word of God has great power in our lives to change our circumstances, to help us, to lift us up. And it's because of what Jesus did on the cross for us. And he not only died for us, but he gave us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him. And so when we come together, that's what we're doing. We are getting in the Word of God to be lifted up, to be built up, to be strengthened. Amen. So let's go before the Father in prayer. Father, thank you for your Word. Thank you, God, that it has the power to change the way we think, the way we act, the way we speak, God, to be conformed more into the image of your dear Son. And Father, I thank you for helping us to be more like Jesus, more like you, God. I thank you, Lord, that your Word has great power to help us to do that by your Holy Spirit. We thank you for leading and guiding us into all truth today. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen. Amen. So this morning, I've never preached this sermon particularly because God just began to really, I really knew that I was going to be ministering on the subject of faith this fall and how faith works. And I kind of knew the overarching theme, and there are so many sermons that I could go through and just kind of pull out the notes and just preach it almost without, you know, really thinking about it. And I don't say that braggadociously. I just say that because I've been in the ministry long enough, taking notes from Brother Hagin and from different people long enough that I have plenty of notes that I could do that with. But as I was meditating on the thought came to me. Have you ever heard the phrase, "I'll believe that when I see it"?
Yeah.
Anybody ever said that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'll believe that when I see it. Right. And, you know, sometimes we faith people, we kind of look at that and go, well, there's no faith in that, right? Am I right? There's no faith in that, right? So today, I want to talk to you about seeing is believing. Say that out loud with me.
Seeing is believing.
Now, notice that the word seeing is in quotes. Okay? Because it depends on how you're looking at what the word seeing means. Because if you're just looking at what you can see with your natural eye, that's not what we're talking about. And that's not what I believe that Jesus wanted to convey to us. You see, you know, the question I want to ask you today is, what are you seeing? What are you seeing when it comes to your relationship with God? What are you seeing when it comes to God's will for your life, right? God has a plan. He's got a purpose for your life. And we don't have time to go into it right now, but Jeremiah 29:11, God has plans for your good, for your future, to give you a hope and a future, not plans to harm you. And so when we're looking at the scripture, you know, and we say, wow, God, you know, what do you want me to see? So let's just stop right now and just say, God, show me. Just say it out loud with your words. God, show me what you want me to see. Now close your eyes and say it. Say, God, show me what you want me to see. Hallelujah. All right, you can open your eyes now. Now, I came across an interesting article. I know it does not sound like something a preacher would read, but in Scientific America in 2015, yes, I know what Scientific America is because when I was a middle school and high school kid, I was a science fair kid. So I would read the Scientific America sometime to get ideas for science fair projects. But I came across an article that talks about that when we read words, we recognize words as pictures, and we hear them spoken aloud in our brain. Aren't you glad that the psalmist wrote in Psalm 139, "We are fearfully and wonderfully made"? You have a complex computer that AI cannot even compare to. All right? Something man-made cannot even come close to something that's God-made. Formed in your mother's womb. He knew you even then. And so when we're looking at some of these concepts of faith, when we're saying, okay, God, what do you want me to see? You know, we recognize words as pictures. And so I was kind of meditating along those lines. Turn with me to Mark chapter 9 and verse 23. Mark chapter 9, verse 23 is an interesting story. Last week I talked to you about why miracles matter. Miracles matter because they're part and parcel of our faith. They're part and parcel of the story of Christ and Christianity. They were just as I shared in the power tools series that I began on Father's Day and took us through the first part of the summer was talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, why they matter. Power tools get the job done. Miracles are a part of that. Why do miracles matter? Why are they important? And then I began to look at a particular miracle in Mark chapter 9. And so let's go ahead there. Mark chapter 9 and verse 23. Mark chapter 9 and verse 23. Now you might recognize this story if you've been in church at all. This is when Jesus is talking to the father of a child that the demons would cause him to convulse and throw him into the fire. Some say it was epilepsy. Some say it was demons. I don't know. When we get to heaven, we will find out exactly. But I believe that it was demons because of the way Jesus dealt with the subject. And so when we see in verse 23, Jesus said to the father, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." All things are possible to him who believes. So I began to really meditate on this about, okay, wait a second. What is a belief? A belief is when we're looking at that word belief or believe, it is something that we see. So if God can get you to see something, then you're on the road to believing for it. Okay? You're on the road to believing for it. Okay? So if God can get you to see something, you say, okay, wait a second, Pastor, this sounds too philosophical. You're getting out there for me. Just a minute. Okay, let's just break it down. How did you get saved? Turn with me to Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. Romans 10 and verse 9 and 10. This is how we received Christ, right? So in Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, I usually reference this every Sunday morning service. And it says this, "If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and," what? "Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Now, basic faith is right here. Basic faith is right here. For it's in our heart that we begin to believe things. Right? We begin to believe something. Why? Because we see something down in our heart. You first heard about Christ, you might have not been open to Christ when you first heard about him. But then you heard about him again and again and again. You know, I happen to know, because I've gotten to know Adam over the last year or so since he's been at our church, and I know some of his testimony. You know, he's got a brother who's a pastor, you know, but he didn't grow up in this kind of church or in this kind of relationship with Christ. And what happened is he heard and heard and heard it again. When he heard it, remember, language forms pictures in the side, inside of our brain, which is the gateway to our heart, the real hidden man. So you hear the gospel. What is the gospel? Good news. Jesus loves you. God calls you. He's got a plan for your life. Right? He wants to bring transformation to our lives. And so what happens is you start to hear the good news. You start seeing it down on the inside. When you see it, then you can begin to speak it. Now you're on the path to believing. That's why so often I grew up in a church that when you received Christ, you said something. You opened your mouth. You prayed out loud. You walked an aisle. You made a statement and said, Jesus is Lord. I believe that Jesus died for my sins, that he was raised from the dead. What is that? That's language. That's words. There's pictures down on the inside of my heart. I begin to believe that. So with the heart, one believes unto what? Righteousness. That Jesus really did take my sin. He really did take all of the worst parts of me. All of them. He found me. He took my worst parts. Right? So now I have righteousness. That means right standing with God. And now I start to see that. Now I start to say that. Do you see the progression of faith here? This is how faith works. So when Jesus said over there in Mark chapter 9. When Jesus said over there in Mark chapter 9 and verse 23, he said to them, if you can believe. I want you, if you have a real Bible, if you have a real Bible, no condemnation. But if you have a real Bible, or if you have an electronic Bible, okay, Adam. All right. So if you have an electronic Bible, I want you to highlight believe. And then if there is a way that you can do it on a real Bible, you can do it. You can actually write the word see. If you can see, all things are possible to him who what? Sees. So if God can get you to see your body well, oh church.
Amen.
If God can get you to see yourself out of debt, if God can get you to see yourself in a different place, relationally, financially, mentally, free from anxiety. Come on. If you see it, it gets in your heart. When it gets in your heart, you're now on the path to believing. You see, belief comes from seeing. Saying comes from believing. Sometimes in our faith circles, we've gotten it a little bit backwards. And I understand why. I understand why. Because usually, when we're looking, we just referenced it in Romans 10, 9 and 10. If you will confess with your mouth, right? But it says if you believe in your heart first. If you believe in your heart first. If you believe in your heart first. Well, how do you believe in your heart? Well, you start hearing. You start hearing. You start hearing. You start hearing. Now, all through the book of Mark, we see miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle in the book of Mark. And so many times in the book of Mark, we see something that is really cool. And that is, they heard about Jesus. And they heard that Jesus could fix things. How many of you know we live in a broken world? Jesus can fix things. Just say that out loud. Say, Jesus can fix things. Now close your eyes for a minute. Can you see Jesus fixing that thing you brought in? Wow. Can you see him fixing that? Because he's awesome. He's awesome at that. Now you're back there in Mark chapter 9. You have a desperate father, right? You've got a desperate father in this situation who needs his son to be delivered. He needs his son to be delivered. And because of that, I think it's interesting, the disciples couldn't do really anything to help, right? And they couldn't do anything to help. But let's go there. Give me a moment here. All right. Had it marked. Here we go. All right, so in Mark 9, praise God. Verse 23, when he said to the Father, right? He said all things, right? All things are possible to him who believes, right? All things are possible to him who believes. That means you and I can believe for impossible situations. You and I can believe. Say, you can believe for that impossible situation. Verse 14. And when he came to the disciples, saw a great multitude around them, and the scribes were disputing with him. And he saw that the people were amazed and greeted him. What are you discussing? Am I in the right spot? No, I'm not. Yes, I am. Okay. And he says, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? Verse 19. And shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. And when they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, how long has this been happening? And he said, from childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But listen to what the end of that verse says. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Verse 23, Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And as I was preparing for this, that verse kind of jumped out at me. It was almost as if the father was saying, and I don't believe this is an injustice to the scriptures. Please don't send me email. Okay. It's almost as if he was saying, Lord, I see, but help my unseeing. Are you with me? I see, but help my unseeing. I think sometimes we, as faith people, we're in that spot. We see partial. We see, okay, Lord, I've seen you do it for somebody, but will you really do it for me? I've seen you heal, Silvio or Pastor, but will you do it for me? So maybe that's the part that you haven't seen yet, right? That might be the part that you need help in seeing. I don't think it's unbelief to say, Lord, help my unseeing. I don't think it's unbelief to say that. To say, Lord, I need help seeing this. You know, how many times have you had to go to a spouse or a family member or a boss and say, I really don't understand exactly what you're saying to me right now. Can you bring some clarity, please? Right? I'm not quite getting what you're saying. I'm not quite getting what you're wanting me to see. But Jesus is a picture of God's love for us, right? Notice what, you know, that father said, have compassion on us. Have compassion on us, or have compassion and help us. You know, sometimes we need a little boost, don't we? You need a little boost. Turn to your neighbor and say, sometimes you need a little boost. Yeah, some of us need a little more boost than others, but that's all right. We you know, everybody has been there at some point in their life. At some point in their journey with Christ, you've been there where you needed a little boost. You needed a little bit of, the little engine that could. You can do it, right? You can walk this walk of faith. You can do it. You can overcome. Praise God. You see, belief comes from seeing Saying comes from believing, and acting comes by choice. Acting on what you believed, that comes by choice. Okay, what are you talking about, Pastor? I'm talking about this. You believed in your heart that Jesus is who he said he is. That God sent his only son to die for my sins. My sins. It was personal. It wasn't somebody else's sin. It wasn't, you know, the worst figure in human history that you can think of. It wasn't somebody. It was mine. Because it was personal. Because sin is, I missed the mark and nobody is good enough. He died for my sin. He died for my sin. He was raised from the dead for me. For me. So you start to see a picture in your heart of what Jesus did for you. That he loves you that much. That he would go to the cross. And I remember as a teenage young man, just new to really walking with God, I remember somebody said something one time and it just impacted my life. They said, even if you were the only person on the planet, Jesus would have died for you. And it made it personal for me. It wasn't religion then anymore. It wasn't religion. Then it became relationship. Because then I was like, Lord, I'm yours. Everything I have, everything I've got is yours. Now, in that journey of 43 years ago, in July, that I made that decision, in that journey, I've had ups and downs. In that journey, I've had to say, Lord, help my unseen. Help me to unsee the things that I shouldn't be seeing. You see, the enemy, he works in thoughts, ideas, and suggestions all the time. And they're always against God. They're always against God. He hates people. Do you understand that? The enemy hates people. We were created in the image of God. Every kindred, tribe, and tongue, and skin color created in the image of God. And he hates us. So he's glad to bring confusion, to bring disorder, to bring chaos, fighting. Right? He's glad to do that. Because that's what he does. The Bible tells us in John 10:10, the thief comes to rob, steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. The Greek word is zoe, the God kind of life. God wants to give you the God kind of life, but you've got to see it in order to start believing it. And then when you start believing it, you can start saying it. And now you're on the path to seeing it manifest in your life. Now you're on the path to see it manifest in the life. I remember as a youth pastor, we would get some kids who would get saved. And they'd come to our youth group, Tuesday Night Live. They'd come to our youth group. And I remember one night, a kid got saved. And the very next week, he's in the parking lot smoking dope. He comes in. And he is stoned. But he comes into youth group. And he had a thick Massachusetts accent. And I was, obviously, this was down in Florida. I'm like, okay. And I didn't know what to do. But in the service, I thought, well, let the kid sit in service. I'm not gonna berate him. Let him sit in service. Let's see what God does. By the end of the service, the kid just starts weeping. And he's, I'm so sorry. So sorry. And he's repentant, right? And I was like, and he wasn't even talking to me. He was talking to God. He was like, okay, see, I think so much of the time, we start to try to help God, we just mess it up. Just let God do what he needs to do, right? Right? So That kid went on to learn more about walking with God. You see, the whole thing about the week before, he went down the aisle and received Christ. That didn't mean that everything and all of his patterns and all of his life and all of the things that went with that, it didn't mean that that immediately changed. He needed to learn. Well, when we confess with our mouth because something we believe down here, we're now on the road to seeing change in our life. I'm so thankful you didn't know me when I was first a Christian. I really am. Because I there were some things I didn't know. But I'm growing. Thanks be to God. Everybody got to keep growing. Because that's what it is. You see, our past is our past. You have more of a future in God than you do a past. Once you make that decision and you're walking on that road, why? Because you believed. You saw something in Jesus. You saw it. And we see that in this particular case, that... Okay. Thank you, Lord, for emergency services that respond. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God that God, let's just go ahead and stop and ask God to protect them and help them.
Yes.
Father, in the name of Jesus,
yes,
we thank you, Lord, for helping those emergency frontline workers, God,
yes,
that they would help. They would be there to help.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Lord, for protection, safety, and, Lord, wisdom from the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So now let's see one other example real quick, and we're going to close with this. And I have more next week, so you're just going to have to hang on to your hat here because I do have more about this. Seeing is believing. It's believing. Believing in your heart, confessing with your mouth. In Mark chapter 5, we're going to just go over this real quick. In Mark chapter 5, we see, just a great illustration, and you might have heard this, about the woman with the issue of blood. The woman with the issue of blood. And you see what happens. It's two miracles in one, right? In verse 21, it says this, "And now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him. And he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. And he begged him earnestly, saying, 'My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live.'" Stop right there. I think Jairus must have seen something. Don't you? He saw something somewhere along the line in Jesus' ministry. He heard something. What are words? Words are word pictures. They're pictures formed in our minds. Even if he didn't actually see Jesus heal somebody, he heard that Jesus healed somebody. He heard the stories about Jesus. And what happened is, in Jairus' mind, he has a picture. He's seeing something. And now, because something's in his heart, it causes him to act. Mm-hmm. Oh, church. That's how we got saved. It's how anything when it comes to faith works the exact same way. Mm-hmm. You see something down here. You don't see it up here. You see it down here. Dr. Paul Yonggi Cho, one of the pastors of the world's largest church, I think he's gone on to be with Jesus, but he used to talk about being pregnant with a vision. He saw something down here when nobody would listen in Korea. And now that nation is one of the most Christian nations on the earth. And when he saw something, Christianity was minuscule. When he saw something. He believed something. He spoke something. And people rallied and followed. They began to see it. They began to speak it. They began to act. And that's how that church became one of... And that's not the only church that's one of the largest in the world. In fact, out of, I think, the top 10 churches, largest churches in the world, I think 8 of them are in Korea. And that all happened within one man's lifespan. How does that happen? You see something in your heart. Words form pictures in our heart. That's why Romans 10:17 says, if you hear, faith comes by hearing the word. You're hearing the word. You're hearing the word. You're hearing the word. Why do you think the enemy's attacking churches? Churches are having such a hard time getting everybody back since COVID, right? It's because he doesn't want them near the word. Because the word will change their life. The word will change their life. So we see what happens here. Jairus saw something. He fell at Jesus' feet and he begged him, my daughter's lying at the point of death. So Jesus went with him and a great multitude followed and thronged him. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. Don't give up, in other words. Maybe you've been in a situation. Don't give up. And she had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard, what did she hear? Words, right? She heard words. She saw something in her heart about Jesus. She came from behind him in the crowd, and what? She acted now. She touched his garment for, but look at what verse 28 says. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. That's what she was seeing. She was seeing something and now she's saying it. And look at what happens in verse 29. Immediately the fountain of her blood dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you and you say, who touched my clothes? Have you ever been down in New York City and you're like this? Trying to go through the streets? That's what it was like. But the touch of faith sees something. It's down in here. And when it says something and acts on something, God is able to bring about a change, a miracle, a transformation. Amen? So next week we'll pick up on this. I think there's a lot more to this. Seeing is believing. Turn to your neighbor and say, seeing is believing. Say, I'm not talking about my eyes. I'm talking about seeing with my heart. Amen. Amen. Praise God. With every head bowed, every eye closed in this place, let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your word. God, that you want us to see things. You want us to believe about your goodness, about your willingness to heal us, about your willingness to transform our lives, about your willingness to give us a new life when we give you our old one. And so, God, I pray that you would move on this congregation, this church, and those that are watching online, Father, that if there be anybody who does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, or perhaps they knew him, but they kind of walked away, and today they just feel a special drawing to come back to Jesus. Father, I pray you would draw them back.
Yes, Lord.
In the name of Jesus. Yes. And Father, I pray that if there be those that they sense faith bubbling up in their heart, they believe in their heart that Jesus died for their sins, and they know it, and they're willing to receive that by faith and confess Jesus as their Lord, I pray, God, that you would move on them right now as we pray together. Just pray this simple prayer out loud together, and if that's you, you're either coming back to Christ or you are coming to Christ for the first time, I want you to pray this simple prayer out loud with me. Say, Father God,
Father God,
I come before you
in the name of Jesus.
I believe
in my heart
that Jesus died for my sins,
that he was raised from the dead.
I receive his forgiveness
as a gift,
not that I could earn. And I call Jesus my Lord, my Savior, from this day forth and even forevermore. Father, I thank you for saving me. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Just thank him right now. Just thank him. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you prayed that prayer for the first time,
or you prayed it as an act of recommitting your life. We want to know about it. Please message us on Facebook. Let one of our leaders here know about it if you're here in person. I do that all the time just so that you know that if you bring a friend or somebody comes in, they're going to know how to come to Christ in this church. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God forevermore. Let's stand our feet right now. We have our sending out verse right now. And let's speak this over our church. Speaking is important. Speaking is important. So we're going to speak these words over our church. I want you to see that yourself in these words. And your brother or sister in Christ. Watch what it says. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121, 7 and 8. Praise God. You are dismissed. Have a wonderful week. And I'll be available for anybody who needs special prayer down front. Hallelujah. Have a great day.